friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the October 28th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Los Angeles Dodgers, who beat the Tampa Bay Rays Tuesday night 3-1 to lift Major League Baseball's World Series trophy. The AP's Mark Myers reports.
The Los Angeles Dodgers are World Series champions, defeating the Tampa Bay Rays 3-1 in Game 6 to win it 4-2. LA earns its first title since 1988. Shortstop Corey Seager was named series MVP.
This team was incredible. All throughout the year, all throughout the postseason, all throughout quarantine, you know, we never stopped. We were ready to go as soon as the bell was called, and once it did, we kept rolling. You know, we had an unbelievable postseason.
Tampa Bay's Blake Snell was dominant through five innings, but manager Kevin Cash pulled his starting pitcher in the sixth.
When it comes to, you know, understanding that team and what I needed to do to succeed, I was really locked in. I knew, I felt I did everything I could have done to stay in that game and, you know, as long as I could have done.
And that questionable move backfired. The Dodgers struck for two runs in the sixth inning to pull ahead 2-1, and Mookie Betts homered in the eighth for an insurance run.
I was traded for to help get us over the hump, and so I just used that as my fuel. And, you know, since day one, that's obviously been the goal to win a World Series, and so I'm just happy to be a part of it.
Julio Urias got the last seven outs to close out the victory. I'm Mark Myers.
Thanks, Mark. Dan Friedel was at Globe Life Field for Game 6 of the World Series, and Dan joins us now from Arlington, Texas. Sporty greetings, Dan.
Hey, Sonny. Sporty greetings to you from deep in the heart of Texas.
First off, Dan, your reaction to the Dodgers winning their first World Series title in more than 30 years.
Well, Sonny, the Dodgers are one of the most historic sports franchises in the United States. Our listeners probably know that they started off in Brooklyn, New York. They were one of the famous teams in the kind of golden ages of baseball in the first half of the 20th century. And like a lot of the United States, looking for greener pastures and a market to call their own, you know, the Dodgers were one of three teams with the Yankees and the Giants in the small, congested New York City area. They moved in 1957 to the new coast city of Los Angeles. And, you know, the Dodgers had been one of the most famous baseball teams, the most famous sport in the country. And they picked up right where they left off when they moved west. They had some outstanding seasons in the 1960s and won a couple of World Series then, and had famous players like Sandy Koufax leading the way. The 70s were not so favorable to the Dodgers, but they did win a World Series in the early 80s. And I was born in 1975, and so I was kind of aware of the fact that they won that year. They had a Mexican pitcher, Fernando Valenzuela, that was making headlines all over the country for his unique pitching style and the fact that he was from south of the border in a city that was only a few hours away from Mexico. And then they went to play in the World Series in 1988 against a really strong Oakland Athletics team that had some of the most famous offensive players in baseball, Mark McGwire and Jose Canseco, and a really good manager, and everybody thought that the Dodgers were going to get blown away because they didn't really have any super strong players themselves, except for Kirk Gibson, who was a multi-sport athlete who had won a World Series in 1984 with the Detroit Tigers. That turned out to be one of the most exciting World Series in history in 1988, as the Dodgers kind of finessed their way around those big hitters from the Oakland A's and won the World Series. And you sort of figured, well, you know, the Los Angeles Dodgers are gonna keep winning. And they had some dark years, you know, they kind of fell apart after that 1988 victory. They had some decent teams in the 90s and the 2000s, but they had a lot of turmoil at the top, different owners. Things kind of stabilized when a group of owners that were kind of organized by Magic Johnson of NBA Lakers fame took the helm and kind of stabilized the franchise. And the problem is that the Dodgers had some of the best players in baseball and some of the best seasons in recent years, and they kept losing in the playoffs. Last year, they lost to our hometown Washington Nationals in the playoffs. The Nationals wound up winning the World Series. And two recent years, they lost to the Houston Astros and the Boston Red Sox in the World Series. So it was pretty exciting to see the Dodgers finally break that drought of 32 years last night here in Arlington, Texas. I was with a friend who's a lifelong Dodgers fan, and he organized this trip. It was really great to see the excitement on his face, and 11,000 people in the stadium due to social distancing, that stadium that could have held 45,000 probably. And most of them were Dodgers fans, and they all had a great night on Tuesday night into Wednesday morning.
Dan, we heard from Corey Seager in that earlier report from Mark Myers. Seager, the Dodgers shortstop, was voted the most valuable player of this 116th World Series.
That's things you think about when you're a kid, man. You wonder what it's like. You strive to hear that, and to do it with this team and this group, man, it couldn't be any more special.
Who were some of the other key players for the Dodgers?
You know, Seager, young shortstop, kind of came into his own this year. Clayton Kershaw is kind of the elder statesman of this Dodgers team, and he's kind of an example of the futility of the Dodgers. He's a Hall of Fame player, no doubt about it. Left-handed pitcher, big guy. It's kind of hard to believe that he's in his early 30s now. He was kind of a flash of lightning when he came up about 15 years ago from the minor leagues, and he dominated the major leagues. I mean, he would have stretches of games where he would only give up one or two hits over like three or four consecutive games combined. He was such an outstanding pitcher. You would watch him just burn through the opposing lineups filled with outstanding offensive players. Like, it was a hot knife through butter, but he struggled in the playoffs over and over again. He would pitch three or four good innings, and a starting pitcher in baseball, maybe they want him to go seven innings. He would pitch three or four good innings, and then he would fall apart. He would give up some hits, he would give up some walks, and the Dodgers would lose. And this year in the World Series, Kershaw pulled it together. He got two of the victories out of four that the Dodgers needed to clinch the series. He really was kind of vindicated, right? Because he's a Hall of Fame player, but never won a championship until this season. Another really unique player that joined the Dodgers in this strange offseason, this extended offseason, was Mookie Betts. A flamboyant, outstanding, super smart, super fast, athletic, leaping catches, fast runner, home run hitting outfielder, Mookie Betts, who had won the World Series when he was a member of the Boston Red Sox recently, defeating these Dodgers. He brought his play and actually scored the most important run of the game on Tuesday night when he dashed home from third base, kind of in Jackie Robinson style. You know, Jackie Robinson, 1947, the first African-American player to play in Major League Baseball, was known for his daring base running. And Mookie Betts kind of channeled Jackie Robinson a few times. Mookie Betts, another African-American player, one of the few African-American players actually in Major League Baseball these days, scored what turned out to be the winning run on a ground ball to the first baseman, running from third base so fast and sliding in to score the run that made it 2-1. He also hit a home run, his last at bat of the game, to extend it to 3-1 to prevent the Tampa Bay Rays from being able to mount a comeback in the last inning. Those were some really important plays and really important players during this World Series.
Thanks, Dan. That's Dan Friedell speaking with us from Arlington, Texas, the venue for Major League Baseball's 116th World Series. And we'll hear more from Dan during Thursday's show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Take your pick. Watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they talk about the most important social and political issues that affect you. Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Turning to African football, a former winger for Ghana's Black Stars is now helping develop young players as a coach at the Right to Dream Academy in Accra. Yao Afusu-Larbi tells us more from Ghana's capital. Sporty greetings, Yao.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Spotted in dreadlocks, Lai Kinsen was an exciting player to watch in his heyday, bombing down the right wing, taking players on, and had the skill and elegance of a gazelle. He's one of the few players to have represented Ghana at various youth levels before ultimately playing for the Black Stars. Off the field too, he had a social life that matched his incredibly daring playing style. These days, life is different. The dreads are off. The grey hairs have sprouted, disrupting the uniformity of the perfectly laid black hair he had before, and has become a coach for young footballers. Lai joined the coaching team at the Right to Dream Academy last year, where he has begun the development of young players for the harsh realities of professional football that lie ahead.
The moment I finished my football career, I said to myself, okay, I can do other things, but I can't live without the game of soccer, because that's something that I've done throughout my life. So I decided to go into football. And also, the second main thing is everything that I acquired throughout my career, it would be very nice for me to pass it on to up-and-coming generation. So
training session begins. The players are going through their paces, and the ball work is on top of the agenda on the session today. But Lai isn't just looking on. He is just as vocal as he was back in his playing days.
And then what? The fullback. He goes in, wide player goes, nine, attack the first pole, second pole. Yes, you can support for rebound.
Kingston explains the need for proper development of footballers at this age.
For me, I think this foundation, Right to Dream Academy, helped him a lot. You know, you can see how the effort the coaches have been putting in the young ones and all the training section. It's well planned. Not just training, but we all always train for purpose. So you can see it's very good for development as well.
The former Ghana winger is still on course to gaining his UEFA License B certificate that will enable him to take over professional clubs.
What I need as a coach is to win cups. You know, I wish one day, when the time comes and I have the opportunity to coach one of the big clubs, I'll be more than happy to go there. And then I love the challenge, you know. So, but for now, I'm with Right to Dream and I'm thinking about my development.
Lai's path to being a coach has been smooth. But for him, the enormous challenges of managing character and behaviors are what spur him on. He is on board the midnight train and the destination isn't too far away. From the Right to Dream Academy, this is Yao Afusu-Larbi in Accra.
Sporty greetings. This is Chairman Christian Chukwu, former captain of national team Green Eagles, former coach of Super Eagles, former coach of Kenya national team, former coach of Safa of Lebanon, You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to sukus, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. Still on the African football beat, the Nigeria Football Federation has appointed Babafemi Raji as the new media officer of the men's national team, the Super Eagles. Raji takes over from Toyin Ibitoye, who was media officer for 5 years. Raji is the group manager, programs and content development for Brilla Media Group, owners of VOA partner Brilla FM in Lagos. Iron Mike Mbonye asked him about his new appointment.
My appointment as the Super Eagles media officer, when I first heard it, was just wow. And then I saw the release from the communications department of the Nigeria Football Federation as sent by the director of communications, Ademola Olajire. Indeed, I was like, wow. It's a call to service, and I will diligently and dutifully serve. I just want to thank the Nigeria Football Federation for this opportunity to serve Nigeria. I also want to thank the president of the Nigeria Football Federation, Amajume Ovenpinnick, a real hard worker. I really want to thank the entire executive committee and the board and management of the Nigeria Football Federation for believing in me that I can do this, and I promise I will not let them down. I will bring in the best of my professionalism in this. It's a huge one, but I know, but definitely with the support of everyone, it's something we can indeed do and ensure that the job goes well. I'm excited about it. I'm really, really excited about it. I also want to thank the chairman, CEO of Brilla Media, Dr. Larry Zamoje, for the opportunity, the support, and everything. We are the home of fans at Brilla, also partners of the VOA, you understand? So I'm excited about this, and definitely that we will ensure I use we, because I won't work in isolation. I will work with the communications department as well to ensure things go well. The image of the Super Eagles will be well projected. I'm excited about it, and I'm ready. In fact, I've started.
How will you ensure that the Super Eagles get good and better media coverage?
As the media officer of the Super Eagles, there are several ways, working with the communications department, the entire team itself, the players, the coaching staff, in ensuring that the team gets better media coverage. I will bring in my expertise in terms of digital media to ensure we project the image of each and every member of the team. The Super Eagles remain a very big brand. One of the major exports, commercial exports, Nigeria has is the Super Eagles. We talk about crude oil and everything, but trust me, football, and this time around, I'm particularly about the Super Eagles, remain a very, very key export commodity, if you want me to put it that way. And a lot of things will be done. We'll be digitally driven to make sure we project the image well. We'll try to indeed get the players closer to their fan base. It means working with my bosses in the communications department of the Nigeria Football Federation, get to create avenue for the players, the coaching staff, to be able to frequently say things, talk, so that it reflects our culture, the tenets of our society, what the fan base, Nigerians, the common man, the typical fan can relate with. So those are those things that I feel we can always do to ensure the Eagles get better media coverage. Key thing, like I said, we will be digitally driven. We'll project the image of the Super Eagles of Nigeria, and the image of each player, everything you need to know about them, basic things about them, connect them, break the wall between them and the fan base, let them be indeed well absorbed by the local community. When I say local community, I mean the Nigerian fan itself. Because if you talk football, basically, and Nigeria, mostly 90%, what goes to the head first is the Super Eagles, which is a very, very big brand. So it means all these we will deploy to ensure we really project the image well. Working with the team, working with the players, the entire backroom staff, working with the communications department to ensure this is achieved.
Do you think the Super Eagles will go far if they qualify for AFCON 2022 in Cameroon?
Of course, yes. The Eagles would definitely go far. When they, I don't want to use if they qualify or if they. When we qualify for AFCON 2022, we will go far. The Super Eagles remains a big team, whether you like it or not. Forget what you see or what anyone says. The fact is, the Eagles usually going for any tournament, especially the AFCON, you basically see them as potential semi-finalists. So basically, the Eagles will go far. The team has been learning the ropes. The team has been gelling. The first exhibition was at the World Cup, and then the next was at the AFCON in Egypt. And right now, this should be an opportunity for the team to further show that, yes, they have matured, that we have matured as a team, the players that are indeed matured. So definitely, I think the team will go far. So I'm excited about this, that I'm working with champions, guys that indeed are great, that will indeed be able to put smiles on the faces of Nigerians. And once again, I want to thank you, Mike. Once again, I want to thank the Nigeria Football Federation. I want to thank the president, Amaji Melvin Pinnick. I want to thank my predecessor. I'm talking about Tony Bitoe, his senior colleague. Wonderful standard he has set. And when we spoke, he called me when the appointment came out. And then we discussed. I had to get him live on the show too. And then we discussed a lot of things. I will keep calling him because I will get advice from him a lot.
That's Babafemi Raji, the new media officer of Nigeria's national men's football team, the Super Eagles. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Babafemi Raji, media officer of the Super Eagles of Nigeria, also the team lead programs and content development department of Brela Media right here. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contacting COVID-19. Thank you.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. World champion sprinter Christian Coleman of the United States has been banned from the rescheduled Tokyo Olympics after a series of missed drug tests. Track and Field's doping agency, the Athletics Integrity Unit, upheld a provisional suspension. It said Coleman failed to be present for 3 drug tests in a 1-year span. The Athletics Integrity Unit handed down a 2-year ban, meaning Coleman will miss next year's Olympic Games in Tokyo, Japan. The 24-year-old Coleman ran the 100 meters in a personal best 9.79 seconds last year in Qatar to win the world title. He beat fellow American Justin Gatlin, who won the silver medal and who served a 4-year ban in the past for doping violations. Finally, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Hall of Fame basketball player Lenny Wilkins, who is celebrating his 83rd birthday on this Wednesday. In fact, Lenny has the unique honor of being inducted 3 times into the Basketball Hall of Fame. In 1989, he was inducted as a player. In 1998, he was inducted as a coach. And in 2010, Lenny Wilkins was inducted for a 3rd time as part of the 1992 United States Olympic Dream Team. And that wraps up the October 28th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports. We'll be right back.
You want to listen to the latest African music? Dance to the best African beats from across the African continent? Then you don't have a problem. Just tune in to the African beat on the Voice of America, Mondays through Fridays at exactly 0900 and 2000 Universal Time. African Beat, the show that brings happiness into your homes, smiles on your faces. So join me, your host, David Bandy, Monday through Friday, 0900 and 2000 Universal Time on The Voice of America.
African Beat. It's the best. It's number one. We love it.
VVIP.
Hello, music lovers. This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. This Sunday, tune in for a full hour of Africa's best music. Chatty and electro dance music? Check. Classic Monday Grill music? Check. Interview with founder of Ghanaian Hip Life, Reggie Rockstone? Check.
See everybody. Somebody.
There's this and so much more music for everyone in this show. So don't miss it. This Sunday, 1500 and 2000 UTC. On Music Time in Africa.
Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you the biggest stories of the day. Our global correspondents report the news objectively and comprehensively, keeping you informed about important world events. International Edition provides analysis from the most seasoned experts around the world to put the day's events into context to better understand what's happening and how it may affect you. Listen to International Edition Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 Universal Time on the Voice of America or your local affiliate. You can also listen to the show on demand by visiting the program page at voanews.com or by subscribing to the show wherever you get your podcasts. VOA's International Edition, your go-to source for accurate, comprehensive, and objective news.
What's going on, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi coming to you from the Voice of America studios here in Washington, D.C. Join us each week on Upfront as we discuss a range of topics. The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
Eliminate the mentality that girls cannot do what boys can do.
You basically need to go to school. There's just no way you're going to get all the skills that people want from you or they expect from you if you're not at school.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.